Prime Time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today from this moment on is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? Hey. What is up?
One more sleep.
To what?
Well, I don't know.
You going to the pumpkin patch tomorrow?
Yeah, big pumpkin patch. I will say that the nice part is the BTJ, the significant other, she's got like friends that have little kids, so I've been able to foist her off on them for the pumpkin patch.
What do you mean? You guys don't have littles, and she still wants to go to the pumpkin patch?
Oh yeah.
Oh god.
Exactly. Like Photo we went ops. To a pumpkin patch a couple years ago, and it was like, what are we doing? Like, huh? Pumpkin patch.
Is that what it is?
Pretty fall colors for the gram?
Yeah.
Is that all it is?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Like, what is the deal with the pumpkin?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. I did get to meet, like, an angry... I think they lured me in. They're like, hey, they've got goats. And I'm like, are they ill-tempered goats? And they're like, it says not to pet them. So, of course, I petted them. So, but yeah, I mean, basically, it's like, so that they can get a photo dressed like Han Solo in front of some hay barrels in a pumpkin, and then you spend way too much. I'm like, you know, the Fred Meyers right down the street has pumpkins. We can just buy them there. But it was nice. The last couple years, I've just foisted her off onto friends who have little kids, so she gets to go out and do the pumpkin patch thing while I stay home and drink, and it's way, way better. I think we're in a great sweet spot when it comes to the pumpkin patch.
Well, I'd first like to state on the record,
yeah,
controversially perhaps.
Go for it.
That dogs are better than goats.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
Goats are overrated.
Yeah, well, see, that, whoa.
They are.
Whoa. You see, them fighting words. Well, I'm not saying that the dog isn't superior, but the goat is not overrated. Goats are fantastic.
Goats are overrated.
Goats are just there.
Exactly. They don't do anything.
Have you ever owned goats?
No.
Goats are fantastic.
I want a goat.
Goats.
There's a reason there aren't many people with pet goats, because they don't make great pets.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
They
now,
eat everything.
Suburban, like where you live in a neighborhood where your wife insists that there's like a homeowners association where she like cracks the whip and has speed pillows. But if you're out in the country.
Speed cushions.
Speed cushions. The Karens of the world. But if you live on some property, I'm telling you, there's not many things that will cheer you up faster than an ill-tempered goat. They're fantastic.
Dogs all day. And the other thing I was going to tell you is I really have never understood. Well, that's not true. I do understand it because Christmas is like the king of it.
Yeah.
But the seasonal capitalism around some of these holidays, mm-hmm, it's really kind of absurd.
Well, I mean, you know, you're not a Halloween guy. We've heard the Halloween drop. Yeah. You're not a big Halloween-y guy.
Halloween is stupid.
Yeah. But a lot of people love it.
You can take your Halloween and shove it up your little kid ass. But some of these things that people do, mm-hmm, like, okay, trick-or-treating, I get. Yeah. You know, the candy thing, the kids part,
sure,
of it. But if you're an adult and you're still, like, I really don't understand, mm-hmm, why you would go to a pumpkin patch if you don't have kids.
That I'm with you on.
But people fall for this, like, oh, you have to do this, mm-hmm, this, and this.
There's like a maze involved.
Yes, they do all these things to get in your wallet.
It's a seasonal activity. It's kind of like, I mean, I'm not saying I agree with it, but I feel like people who need something to do go to a pumpkin patch.
And I just never had a problem finding
something else to do.
Something else,
right,
to,
yeah,
do.
See, yeah. I think they've tricked you into thinking you have to go do all these things. You really don't.
No.
It's stupid. Go to a Judas Priest show. Masters Pete is here, by the way.
Yes.
And Judas Priest show?
Yeah, go there.
Boy, is there?
Go
is there one
that
locally right now?
Just last night. They rocked out.
You want to talk about a fork in the road? Hey, do you want to go to a pumpkin patch, or would you like to go see...
No, you've got another thing coming.
Yeah. Rob Halford.
Now, see, that's an experience. Go to Judas Priest.
Although Judas Priest has some, you know, Rob's in a bunch of leathers and some assless chaps, and he's up there... That's kind of a Halloween sort of feel to it. Like going to see Alice Cooper.
You got another thing coming.
But yeah, like, I just don't understand the need.
It's weird.
Everyone's always looking for activities to do as a couple or a family. And I'm 100% planting the flag that there is a million things. I could come up with 10 better things off the cuff to do than go to a pumpkin patch.
What's the manor? Something manor in Portland that's big.
The Pittock Manor?
Pittock Mansion?
No, not Pittock Mansion. There's a... Is it Raven's Manor? I think it's Raven's Manor.
That sounds about right. Because, you know, thing. Ravens is like, ooh, spooky.
Yeah,
mm.
Yeah, I think it's in Northwest. But anyway, the kids came by today.
Mm-hmm.
They had an off day together.
Yeah.
And they, this is my son and his fiance.
Yeah.
And they went and did the whole thing. They went to the cider mill
mm-hmm.
or something.
Yeah, you got to have cider at the pumpkin
yeah,
patch.
Yeah, they got... Well, they didn't go to the pumpkin patch.
But there's a cider.
But they went to like a farms yeah. where you got yeah. cider, donuts.
It's not the holiday. It's not the fall unless you're going to
yeah.
get cider.
They were both dressed in kind of fall flannel. Mm-hmm. And then they were getting ready to go have lunch and then go to Raven's Manor.
I'm guessing she was wearing some sort of hat because you have to wear a hat no. during the fall.
She didn't have
was
a
the
hat.
Flannel a tie situation, a tie around the waist situation?
No, they were both still
because that happens
on.
A lot at pumpkin patches.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a whole thing. It was like, wow, okay. They're seasonal. They're into the seasonal goings on.
Bust now, out your best Carhartt.
Now, this has come right. in from a couple different places. Vancouver Ford text line. Some of us are just trying to get laid. And I appreciate that.
Bravo.
That I do. You know,
well, yeah.
And that's, you know, that goes without saying.
The yeah, amount of dudes are.
The amount of things that you are willing to do in order for that to happen, especially as someone else points out, if you know certain things haven't gone down yet, by all means, pumpkin patch the hell out of
it. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do.
Wrong weekend that. For it, though. You could yeah. do it another time.
But, you know, if you've been together for multiple years, what are we doing here?
I think they owe, like, for example, BTJ, think she owes you an explanation. She needs to sit down and say, here is why this is going to be great. And here is why I want to go.
Well.
Because I feel like we've let people get away with this for far too long.
Really,
we need to put our foot down.
Well, and it's true. Is the guys
look,
often
boring.
Don't put the foot down.
Right. They're just like, okay, honey, let's go.
Well, the
no,
nice part
why?
Is I do feel that the foot has come down because she doesn't even ask anymore. She just goes with other people.
Good.
That's the best part is if you just foist them onto other people.
She at least knows to leave you out of it, and that's important.
Yes. That's, by the way, the cornerstone of our relationship is leaving me out of things. And I think all of her friends probably think I'm a terrible partner. Because I'm never at anything. And then when I do show up, it's like this shocker. They're like, oh my God, he's here. But I appreciate that. It might be my favorite thing about her. Is
dude,
she
he's
has
such
learned,
an effing loser.
I don't need to be involved in these things. And here's also the point of this whole thing. If you're going to a pumpkin patch, having me there will do nothing to enhance the pumpkin patch experience. In fact, it's going to take away from it. You are going to have a better time at the patch without me there. And so sometimes it's addition by subtraction. And she's figured that out. And that's a great thing.
Yeah, I think that's a key to a good relationship. I mean, there are two types of relationships. One is woman suggests something and guy's like, okay.
Yeah. All right.
And you go do things and you're miserable yeah. and you end up divorced.
Yeah.
The other one is, you know, you kind of have your own lives.
Yeah.
And you come together for certain things you both want to do. Mm-hmm. And then if, like, for example, my wife last night. Was that last night? Yeah, it was last night. It was a Royals game. She was like, hey, do you want to go to tacos? I'm like, no. She's like, okay, I'll see you later.
Bingo.
I'm like, perfect. That's I great. Want to watch a Royals game. I'm yes. not hungry. I don't want to go to tacos.
It's wonderful.
And so she was like, fine, I'd have no... See, because then, like, if in the other type of relationship, someone gets mad,
yep.
or you start placating,
yes.
and then you're doing things you don't want to do, and then you resent that, and
that's
then you get too drunk.
It's called being mature, what you guys have going on. It's a mature, healthy yeah. relationship.
And I think that's the key to a lengthy, good marriage, is not everything has to be done together. No, I don't want to go to do that with you.
Yeah.
And if you say to me, you want to go to the pumpkin patch,
yeah.
you can shove that up your little pumpkin ass.
I like where we're going with this. I think we've come a long way. I think what
and
we're
I'm
doing,
not afraid to say it.
We need to teach a class because more men need, I think most men are afraid to set boundaries, and you shouldn't be. You have to have healthy boundaries. I get it. If you've got little kids, I mean, I went to pumpkin patches when my kids were little, but at some point that we've crossed that threshold. Like if you've got a bunch of teenagers, trust me, your pumpkin patch is ending. I think when the oldest gets to be about probably 12, that's the last time you should be required to go to a pumpkin patch. After that, you are done.
Agreed.
That's out.
All right.
You know.
Well, tomorrow is a good day for the pumpkin patch for you poor losers who have to go and you don't have the balls to stand up to your
exactly.
significant other and yeah. say, no, I'm watching football, baby.
Yeah. yeah. Well, and this is the other one, too. The lady knows.
Sorry, Buckley.
You're with your speed cushions. The lady knows not to...
I wasn't listening. I was too busy cutting your little pumpkin drop over here. What did you say?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's making fun.
I guess we're going to hear it again.
See, and here's the thing, ladies. You got to learn. Don't ask, do you want to? Because my response is, and she knows, do you want to? My response, and this has been the same way from the beginning. No, that sounds terrible. So I know if she says, I would like you to, that's different than do you want to? Because if you say, do you want to? The answer is no. 99% of the time, whatever you're asking me, do you want to? That's no. But I know occasionally she says, will you? And will you?
That's a request.
It perks up the ears.
Yeah, I need you to come with me.
And you're like, hey.
It's like, okay, I get it.
I understand. So but learn the difference between do you and will you.
But most
two totally
the,
different.
Most of the time when they ask, do you, it's no.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I won't go.
Exactly.
I don't want to go.
Yeah.
But in this instance, I'm going to go with you because I know that you want me to go.
That's why I've conditioned
her. You can't always say no.
No, but that's why I've conditioned her to when you really want me to go, don't ask. Suggest. Yeah, and that's the difference between do you and will you. Because if I hear will you, and she's pretty good at picking, then I know, don't say no, it sounds terrible. If someone asks you, will you come with me, then the answer is most of the time yes, unless it's a pumpkin patch, then the answer is no, go with your friends.
I will say
I'm
gonna
be here
now,
pouring bourbon.
Pumpkin Patch is fantastic because they have, at least the one closest to our home that we've gone to, has a massive kid play structure. It has a train. That is hours of us being able to sit there and just watch our kid run around and wear himself out.
Well, Buck,
out,
you so don't have great. A choice. One,
yeah, he's got little kids.
Your balls are in your wife's purse. We all know that. And you have little kids. And you
it's
drive
the perfect
a Subaru
situation
and have
for
a Labradoodle. Buck, you have no chance.
Hey, no Labradoodle at the Pumpkin Patch. We
Buck,
leave her
you
home.
Have no chance here, buddy. You're
but they
like
have goats.
Also, yeah. We did not do it on Oregon Ohio State weekend. That Pumkin Patch was weeks
Buck,
ago.
You can say all you
put
want.
Put your foot down.
But your wife is Alabama and you're San Jose State, and we all know it. You're putting up a plucky effort, but we know how this score is going to go. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being San Jose State. It's a good little program. A
plucky effort.
It's a plucky little effort you're putting out. You're not beating Alabama. You
don't need
not.
To beat Alabama. I'm working with Alabama.
Yeah, he's just in a different phase of life.
Yeah.
And boy, I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Hey, if you think I'm trying to battle Alabama right now, you would be wrong.
And
I'm trying to
one day
maybe
you
ride
move
Alabama's
up to
tailcoats.
You move up to a Power 4 conference, but right now, be happy in the Mountain West, wherever the hell you're at, and, you know, just accept it.
I feel more like I'm like maybe, probably not Vandy because they're just coming off a massive upset of Alabama, but more like a. A Purdue, where, like, I'm just happy that I'm getting the media money, you know? I'm along for the ride with everybody else.
Fantastic.
I'm Purdue.
All right, well, should we get to going here?
Yeah, probably.
Hey, it's a big show. You know why? We did not have a show yesterday due to the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Dan Lanning is going to be on our show today at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who he is the head coach of the Ducks. Yeah. And they have a big game against Ohio State tomorrow.
Something tells me he's going to be a little buttoned up on this one.
I'm cooking on your grill.
He is going to be cooking on our grill.
I don't mind talking to y'all.
I don't think we're getting any good drops this week. Just a feeling.
Well, we'll see. He'll be on at 4. Joey Harrington, 5:30. You know the routine. Let's start with our poll question next on The Fan. How about this? Kiss.
Not quite. Boy, you want to talk about a controversial opinion? Now, Judas Priest, who this actually is, and Rob Halford, who, along with Lemmy, I would say the grandfathers of metal. Throw Ozzy in there. You have three grandfathers? I don't know, like, where I'd go with that. Give me Rob, give me Ozzy, give me Lemmy. Maybe I'd kick Ozzy out of there, the whole reality show. But Kiss? Boy, you want to talk about something that I do not understand why that's still around? Dude, Kiss sucks. Kiss hadn't written a decent song in 40 years. Kiss took off their makeup after the 70s, and everyone was like, "Dude, this is awful. They have crappy music. It was bad." And then they were like, "Well, let's put the makeup back on and do like a campy show." And everyone's like, "Oh, Kiss." Judas Priest is 1,000 times better than Kiss. Prove me wrong. Don't even start her on Motorhead, for God's sakes. Kiss can't even get this on the same stage as Motorhead.
Let's get to our poll question here on X at 1080 The Fan. And yesterday we asked you, it wasn't yesterday, it was Wednesday.
Yeah, we went yesterday.
Yesterday. Oh, by the way, Seahawks lost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
I didn't see much of it only because my Royals were on dying a slow, painful death.
Yeah, that was Geno's worst game. It wasn't a bad game, but you know, I'm a big Geno guy. And I'll defend Geno to he is a top 10 quarterback. That was not his best game. They still can't run the ball, and that's a huge problem for them. But that was and the 49ers, dude, I think they have what, like 5 or 6 in a row? Like they own the Seahawks.
Well, the Niners were desperate. Yes. You know, they were 2-3 and yeah. That's a tough spot for Seattle. They said 3 games in 11 days.
Yeah.
Dude, that's and they're all banged up.
All banged up.
That's not easy.
Did you see the videos DK screaming at the OC on the sideline?
No, I didn't.
He yells, hey, Grubb, can we please throw past the effing sticks? Please.
Well, don't even get me started.
Wait, that's really what he said?
Yeah. They have sideline video of him yelling at him.
Don't even get me started on DK Metcalf and the problems with him. But this stems from Seattle's biggest problem right now is they're asking Geno to drop back in obvious passing situations on about 75% of his snaps. And it's just not, you can't do that 40 times a game with a bad offensive line. It's just not going to work. And I know Grubb is new to this, but the first couple weeks of the season, it was a great game plan. And I know, you know, you play certain teams, it's a struggle, but the last 2 weeks, I have no idea what the hell they're doing offensively. It's just, it's a terrible game plan. And it's one thing to have that against the 49ers, but to get beat up by the Giants, that's problematic.
All right, so this was Wednesday's poll question. Wednesday. We asked you, which school would you most want to see come play at Autzen Stadium? Alabama winning that going away, 61%. Texas, 20%. Georgia, 11%. And Ohio State, just 7%.
Yeah, no love for the Buckeyes.
How about that?
Well, and then you do get to see them tomorrow, so.
Well, yeah, that's kind of why I put them in there, is I wanted to see, like, because I know Oregon fans, they want Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thing.
Yeah, everyone wants Bama, you know.
They just want to,
until
you know,
play them.
Well, you want to play those games. Yeah. Like, you want to play Ohio State.
It's
you,
the ultimate test.
But I thought Ohio State would be closer to Alabama in that poll,
yeah,
particularly because they're coming in here this weekend. But no one seems to really care all that much. As a matter of fact, might even be just a half-empty stadium tomorrow. I don't know.
Meh. Something tells me that stadium might be just a bit rocking. It's going to be a great environment.
So today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan, we are asking you, which coach needs this win more?
Oh.
Ryan Day or Dan Lanning?
Oh, Dan Lanning.
They're fighting for clicks. We're fighting for wins.
100% Dan Lanning. I don't even think it's close. I mean, look, Ryan Day has taken his shade from time to time. Obviously, the Michigan thing the last couple of years, but Ryan Day doesn't lose regular season games, not to Michigan. I mean, the guy's record's just silly. And they obviously have come up short, but he has been in the biggest games. As much as I like Dan Lanning, and it's not fair because it's only been a couple years, but Dan Lanning's never won anything. He's never won a conference. He's never beaten UW, who's his biggest rival. Maybe they drubbed Oregon State this year, although this isn't, you know, he was 1-1 against Oregon State when they were a power five team. So it's Lanning, because if they lose this, if it's close, I mean, maybe it doesn't matter because the UW games were both close. But, you know, if he loses this, it's going to go back to the same old thing. A lot of hype and no substance. So, yeah, this is Dan Lanning. He needs one. He needs one of these, and he'll get it eventually. He's a really good coach, and they got a great team, and they're going to get some of these. But you got to plant your flag and have a big signature win eventually. And
yeah, flags!
Yeah, everyone loves flags, and Dan Lanning needs to plant this and cook on Ryan Day's grill.
Since Ryan Day took over in 2019, Ohio State has only lost one time before their regular season finale.
Yeah.
And that was to Oregon in 2021.
Yes, I mean,
I think there's some pressure on Ryan Day, but we probably don't feel that because we're not in the Buckeye bubble. But
sure.
Listen, when you go on the road to a game like this with everybody thinks like the best defense in the country, one of the best teams in the country, one of the most, who'd you say, Urban Meyer said the other day, this is the most talented Ohio State team ever.
He said at the start of the year, he just said he thinks that this could end up being the best or the most talented Ohio State team during this modern run.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that Lanning needs this more, but if Day loses this, two regular season losses to Oregon in 3 years.
Yeah. It's one thing to lose to Michigan, but if they're losing to that team out west, Buckeye fans going to be all pissy and moany about it.
I mean, aren't they all pissy and moany about Day anyway?
Well, you want to talk about the expectations and how dumb people are at Ohio State when it comes to these sorts of things. It's the same thing when Kalen DeBoer loses a game and, you know, Alabama fan, you know, Paul Feinbaum show and freaking out and, you know, he's wearing a t-shirt and just some perspective. Ryan, the fact that anyone even considers the fact that Ryan Day may be in jeopardy, he's lost one game since he's been there, not to Michigan.
And what? And that was the Oregon game.
That was the Oregon game.
So he's lost. He's. Do you know that he's coached 44 Big Ten games?
And
do you know how many of those he has won?
What? So I mean, he's only lost,
coached 44.
Yeah. So Michigan, what, three times? So he's won 41. Yeah.
He's 41-0 against everyone. And
so just
everyone else in the Big Ten.
Yeah, stop. Stop. And I know that you're judged against Michigan, and you know, but
that's
won.
Like Kirby and Bama. He's beaten absolutely everyone except for Bama over the last like 3 years.
Yeah. So, but, you know, Day needs a national championship, right? I mean, ultimately, that's how you're judged.
You think he'll get one, don't you?
I think he'll get one at
Ohio
State.
You think Ryan Day gets one there?
Yeah.
He might get one this year.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
Well, you look in the SEC, and, you know, Georgia has warts, Alabama has warts, Texas may not have warts, and we'll see if Ohio State has them. This is the weird thing about Oregon and Ohio State is I can sit up here and give you all the stuff I'm looking at these two teams and be like, well, this is what I like here, here, and here. And, you know, I like Ohio State's, you know, interior line versus Oregon's versus Oregon's interior line. And I like this matchup on the outside at the nickel. You know, there's a million different ways to go from this. But at the end of the day, no one knows who has an advantage here because we haven't seen anything. Neither team has played anyone that you could say remotely comes close to what they're going to see on the other side of things. The closest thing, the only one that you can say is Boise State's run game. That's the only thing that I can say would be problematic for either side is Genty ran, even if you take Genty's 70-yard touchdown out of that, Genty ran the ball 24 times for, I think, a buck 22. It's 5 yards a carry. And the backup averaged more than four. But, you know, Oregon has gotten better since then, we think. That's the only thing that I can take from any of these games that they played and say, there's something that could be an issue. Other than that, it's been dominant performances basically against crappy competition. So, you know, we'll see what happens on Saturday.
That's what I love about this game is, you know, it's not the end all to be all game. You can lose this game and still have the season you want, both teams. The thing I love about this game is it's really unpredictable because we don't really know what either of them is.
Yeah.
And so to have two teams exactly like that, and Bartu was on yesterday or Wednesday saying they're pretty close in talent.
Yeah.
Like it's just they're very similar.
Yeah.
And just to lace them up in Autzen, where Duck fans, like this is why you're a Duck fan, right? Like games like this, like you go to these games, like this is going to be nuts tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And just that right there is the best thing about this game. And let's see what happens. You know, it's not the end of the world if they don't win, but it's just a really unpredictable, close matchup. And it's at Autzen on a nice fall Saturday where everybody's going to be going ape crap. Dude, that's as good as it gets.
It's supposed to be 76 and clear, and you got the game day experience beforehand. It's a perfect
game
day.
It's just perfect. Just enjoy every minute of it, and we'll circle back on Monday and yell at everybody who needs to be yelled at about how they screwed it up. Well, lace them up, you little bitch. Let's go.
And there may not be one defining thing that you can point to. Like when Frazier and Ali fight, dude, you're talking about two of the greatest fighters of all time. And you can go back afterwards and say, you know, hey, Frazier did this in the first fight and Ali got him back in this one. But at the end of the day, it was two greats just swinging at each other and little things made the difference. And that's, I think, what you have here. I'm not saying these guys are Ali and Frazier, but sometimes there just isn't a giant advantage one side or the other. And it's going to be a few plays here or there. That are going to maybe a tipped ball, maybe a bad ref call. You know, Seattle last night, we had a muff punt that wasn't a muff punt because they didn't have the right camera when it touched him with his on a finger, right? We had a horrible motion penalty that wasn't a motion penalty that cost Seattle a touchdown at the end of the game that could have changed it. There's just so many weird things that can happen.
Well, we talked about that marquee game between Oregon and Oklahoma. Yeah. There was that weird onside kick, and like they reviewed it, and Oklahoma still didn't get the ball, even though their guy got it, and Oregon's offside. Like the whole deal.
It's why we watch, man.
Yeah, exactly. These sorts of games where most of the time in college football, you just look at it, you're like, this side should win, they're better. And if they don't, it's because, you know, they made some mistakes, the other team played out of their mind. And that's not one of these. These are just two good teams that are both capable of beating each other, we think, and now we get to see what happens on Saturday.
So vote on our poll question. It is
on
X at 1080 The Fan. And when we come back, we'll have the Dan Lanning pre-pregame show.
Ooh, I love the pre-pregame.
Because Lanning is coming on at 4. Mm-hmm. 30 minutes. We're going to talk to the coach because we missed him yesterday due to the Seahawks game. So Lanning at 4. Up next, I've got a couple of game day notes. We know who the celebrity guest picker is now. So that's...
some of us were, you know, spot on.
Well, I think, I mean, are you going to try to claim credit for that? You going to try to claim credit for this? I knew you would do this. I knew you would do this. Come on, dude.
Well, you didn't call it.
The whole world
actually, I did.
The whole world was connecting the dots on this. We just leaned into it a little bit.
Sook's like, oh, yeah, I was right about that.
That's right. Spot on.
I was right about
the
earth isn't flat. I was right about that.
You don't know that?
Oh, wait.
What are you talking about?
All right. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right. Dan Lanning coming up at 4. Joey Harrington, 5:30. Oregon, Ohio State. Autzen Stadium tomorrow. Weather looks great. Game day on set. Or, I mean, on campus.
There you go. The set is on campus. Buck was showing me the game day crew was gifted. I think they were Air Force, Duck Air Force Ones.
Yeah, they got custom Duck Air Force Ones from the Oregon equipment
They're
folks.
They're bribing them to
That's
make
smart.
The duck picks.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've done way too much interviewing of the duck. Have you noticed that?
It is a little weird.
He doesn't speak.
No, he doesn't.
And yet we do this bit where
he was the guest picker at one point.
Yeah, he's great, yeah. But
he has his limitations.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that they don't have him speak because there'd be nothing worse at this point if all of a sudden, much like, was it Mandrake, the Robo Duck? Like all of a sudden, like the duck came out and started talking. Don't do that. Like you got a great thing going. Everyone loves the duck.
What would their voice sound like?
I don't, it's something terrible.
What if Mandrake?
Girl, you something else.
What if they bring Mandrake back tomorrow? And that's the big surprise.
It just hatches.
That would ruffle a few feathers.
Hatches right before the game.
I'm not going to lie. That'd be the greatest thing of all time. You ever do something like where someone, a stand-up comedian, like purposely bombs, like makes everyone uncomfortable? It would be amazing if they just out of nowhere before the game, that the egg showed up in midfield and everyone's like, no, they're not. And yep.
No. Oh, no. Well, anyway,
Ohio State should do that. They should bring out their own futuristic duck.
How many fans do we expect from Ohio State?
I don't know. I mean,
anybody know that?
Ohio State always travels well.
Oh yeah,
you know
they have good fans. You know, we've been to a couple games where the Ducks played them.
Yeah,
or was it just the one?
What?
Rose Bowl?
The Rose Bowl and then the national championship game.
Oh yeah, it was two.
Yeah. So they got them twice.
And their fans, I found their fans to be delightful.
Yeah, I got no problem with the Ohio State fans. And I'm
sure they have their bad eggs, just like everyone else. But
it wasn't like Florida. Florida State and Auburn fan were both just...
Dude, Florida State's the worst fan in college football.
I thought LSU fan really sucked. I went to the Dallas game, and I didn't think they were great. But really, really liked Tennessee fans when I went there.
Yeah,
so
they were wonderful.
It all depends.
The Tennessee fan, Tennessee came to Autzen.
Right.
And their fan... that's the last Oregon game I went to.
Yeah.
Was that game. And that... Yes. I'm sorry. Pete, that was the last one I went to, and probably the last one I'll ever go to, unless I'm there tomorrow. But they and their fans were wonderful. The Tennessee fans that showed up there were great.
Nebraska fan has phenomenal, like their reputation.
Yes.
Someone is saying there are no rental cars available in Portland, so that would indicate a influx of Ohioans.
And it's not necessarily a public fan thing, but I did hear that there have been 220 media passes issued for this game, and a typical game is about 75. Yeah. So they're about triple what they usually get.
It'll be packed. You know, it'll be a great environment, and this is why
it'll be packed. I just wondered how many Ohio State fans made the trip.
Well, they'll be
good trip to make.
They'll be at the big sliver there in the corner of the stadium. I don't know how many that is. You get like what, maybe 7,000, 5 to 7 in that one corner there. Yeah. You'll see
their band.
You'll see a bunch of red.
Yeah, I'm curious what their actual allotment is, and then how many more they get on top of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you get whatever your allotment is, and then after that, you'd have to buy it on the secondary market. So everyone that comes from the allotment, you see them, they put them in the corner there, and that's in every stadium. They stick them in the crappy corner there in one of the end zones, and you get get a section of red there. But, dude, that place is going to be rocking. I don't care how many Ohio State fans are there. It's going to be a giant home field advantage. And, when you're talking about snap counts and audibles, even now with the in-ear communication, it's hard. It's a false start penalties, and playing on the road's tough. I personally think that in football, the home field advantage is bigger than probably any other sport, simply from a communication standpoint. I mean, you can talk about nerves and basketball and baseball and a rowdy crowd and hockey, you get last line change, but when so much of football is based on audibles and communication, I remember playing in places like Alabama and be in the center and I couldn't hear my quarterback. We had to go on silent counts. He's got his hands on your ass and you can't hear him. I mean, and I'm sure Odson's going to be like that, and that's a big advantage. They are going to rock your ass for 2 hours, and that's that will be when you're on the road. If you're Ohio State, the biggest thing you can do early is just take the crowd out. You know, but if you let Oregon, get some momentum and that crowd gets buzzing, that's a beast. You may not be able to see momentum on the scoreboard, but it's a real thing. Despite what some like talking heads will tell you, dude, momentum is a real, real damn thing.
Did you hear the clip of the? I think it was a offensive lineman from Ohio State.
Yeah,
talking about how
he didn't like these.
He doesn't like these types of games. He doesn't like the big.
Oh, that ticked off a whole bunch of their fans.
All their fans are pissed at this guy.
Losing their minds.
So he basically said, "I don't know. Do you have it in there?
I don't think we do.
I heard it.
I saw it too.
I heard it on my favorite midday show, Danny and Dusty. Basically,
if you heard it there, then we have it.
And it was. I think it was in the preseason. I think it was at their media day. So it was the start of the year. He wasn't talking about this game specifically. And he did go on, by the way. And, of course, it's a soundbite that they cut. But if you listen to the whole thing, he does clarify at the end of this.
I'm not a big I don't like it on national television because you just get – if you get messed up, everybody knows. The reporters, the announcers, everybody. But at the same time, you got to embrace it too. I think last year, personally, when it was – a big game, I would kind of shy away from it, but now I feel more experienced and just ready to play the game. And it's a cool environment because you never get to experience anything like this ever again in your life.
Wait, was he talking specifically about the Oregon game there?
No, I think this was at the start of the year. He was just talking about big games. He was, before.
Because they play in front of 100,000 people.
Exactly. I just think he was just saying there's a lot of guys that probably feel that way. Then in those big moments, there's a lot of butterflies and nerves. And, the guy's being honest.
We forget how young these guys are.
Let's also not act like the guy is... People took that and was like, oh, this guy sucks. No, he's actually a really good offensive lineman. He's a really good offensive lineman. So just because you feel some nerves or, that those games can feel a lot doesn't mean that the kid doesn't go out and play. Doesn't mean he doesn't go out and ball out.
Not built for the moment.
Exactly. But of course.
What's his name?
John Fryer.
Okay, he's offensive lineman.
He's their right tackle.
All right. I'll be keeping an eye on him tomorrow.
Right. You're going to go to the game and heckle him. Make an exception.
Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, I have a few game day notes from ESPN Game Day. And then Dan Lanning will join us at 4 o'clock on The Fan. All right, Oregon coach Dan Lanning coming up in 10 minutes here on The Fan.
Wow.
ESPN College Game Day in the house. And we now know the celebrity guest picker. Mm-hmm. And Suk is going to attempt to take credit for calling this while no one else saw this coming.
No one!
Except for the entire world.
No one saw it. Master Pete didn't see it.
Well, he doesn't even know who she is.
Exactly. But I did!
Caitlin Olson of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will be the celebrity guest picker. She graduated from Oregon in 1997. Her dad is a listener of this program. Mm-hmm. And she is really funny and awesome.
And she has a new show coming out on ABC, so there's some synergy there.
Cross-promo.
It's about time she got the recognition. Sweet D is one of the great characters in sitcom history.
She's great.
And I couldn't be any happier.
I haven't really seen much of her outside of It's Always Sunny, but I picture her being very funny. Just naturally funny.
She does seem it. Her and her husband, who obviously is also on the show, they just anytime.
What's his name?
Rob
McElhenney, he's one of the guys.
Yeah, he's Mac.
Well, but he's one of the guys that bought...
he's on Welcome to Wrexham with Ryan Reynolds.
The soccer team, with Ryan Reynolds.
And anytime they're out and about and just their little interaction they do on Facebook or TikTok or whatever, they just seem like a great couple. Yeah. And yes, she just seems like a naturally funny person. She had a really good show on Fox called The Mick that hung around for a couple years. I'm a big fan.
And she just got nominated this last year for an Emmy for Best Supporting Actress for the HBO show Hacks.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Fantastic. Very funny.
Well, she's great. That'll be a fun bit. Now, you know who is not going to be on game day?
Who?
Lee Corso.
Oh, really? Staying home?
Yes.
Okay.
They said he is under the weather.
Okay.
Which?
Well, yeah. That's actually kind of scary because.
Yeah.
You know.
I think we all know what that means.
Yeah. And this may, you knew eventually it was going to happen.
He's super old.
Yeah. Well, Lee Corso is at that point now where we all have the friend who has the dog that's like 18 years old. And when you see the dog, you have to pretend that the dog's doing great. But And I'm not trying to be mean. It's just when you see Lee Corso now, it's rough. It's just it's rough.
And it's been rough.
Well, I don't know why they keep putting him on there, but
well, because he wants to.
I guess.
And how do you tell that man that it's time to go?
It's called having balls. Much like telling your wife you don't want to go to the pumpkin patch.
No one does.
Grow a pair.
And I think Herbie has a lot to do with it. I think Herbie has a considerable amount of flex and muscle, and I think he uses it to prop up Lee Corso, but
yeah. Well, whatever.
Lee, but we don't need you on.
They have reinvented that show. They have Nick Saban on there now. They have Pat McAfee on there now. It's a fantastic show.
Yeah.
I think it's way better than it used to be, but my God, put Lee Corso down.
No, move him.
Just move him over.
Move him off.
Yeah.
Move him. Put him like in the Pope
Mobile. Don't put him down, just like put him out to pasture.
Yeah, there you go. Put him in one of those Pope Mobiles or like the Bubble Boy thing, so like he can't get sick, and then you can just like drive him around and he can wave at people. Like have like a game day parade and make him the Grand Marshal.
I like that.
And just do that where we don't have to listen to him because it's bad. It bogs down the show, and then we can't think about anything else. Because you just look at that and you're like, oh my God. And then you have to face your own mortality or your parents. This is not good. It's a buzzkill. It's an absolute buzzkill.
Well, the other thing that's going on, and this will not be a subject for Dan Lanning, but Jordan Birch injury rumors?
Yeah, something tells me we probably won't ask that question. Could you get stabbed with eye daggers through a radio interview if you asked someone a question? A question?
Boy, I cringe to think what he would say to you.
He doesn't give us information about beyond his Sharpies, he gives us nothing. Like, nothing at all of detailed consequence.
But these coaches, you know, they're all the same. They're all very paranoid.
Yeah.
And apparently, the rumor has it, Jordan Birch was hurt in practice this week.
Yeah.
And Lanning, Oregon, the whole... They're just not happy that somebody is seeing practice, and
I think it was Justin Hopkins that originally had this.
Somebody is seeing practice that are practices that are closed, and they are disseminating information that happens in practice to whomever.
Yeah.
I don't know if whoever it is, it's ending up out there right away.
Yeah,
and that is a problem for the staff. They don't like that. And so I don't know what his status is. The latest is that he did get hurt, he's going to play.
Yeah, so this was Hopkins. This was Justin Hopkins, he's a Duck insider, who said, look, there was already 200-plus posts on another thread when he started this one. He said, I asked about Birch being carted off and was told that's an excessive exaggeration of what happened. I was told he did get nicked up, and they held him out of the rest of practice as precautionary. It didn't sound alarming, so I guess take it how you please. I'd love to say that I'm getting another update on this, but I doubt I will. So, you know, you won't. You will find out when the game starts. Remember, this was when the last time they played Ohio State. Did Thibodeau? Yeah. Did he even make the trip? And we'll find out. And there's been, over the last handful of years at Oregon, there's been ones where all of a sudden the pregame hits and we're like, what? He's not playing? And then other times everyone's like, dude, this guy's not going to go. And then he's there in full pad. So tell you this, 4:00, you'll have an idea of whether or not Birch is going to play. And then we'll see how much he plays.
Can I ask a dumb fan question?
Ask away.
Is it that big of a deal? I think his injury would be a big deal. I mean, the secrecy of injuries, is it really that big of a deal?
I personally don't think it is.
If Ohio State knows he's banged, what's the difference?
It changes nothing.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, if you know he's banged up, and if he's not in there, right? It's not as if Ohio State then all of a sudden is going to be like, oh my God, like we're running here every time. It's not that hard. Like if they're down one of their best defensive linemen, it's not that hard. Ohio State has run plays that run right there. It's like, hey, we're running to the right. Wait, Birch isn't in. Okay, watch this. I just changed the 2 to a 3 and now we run to the left. Like it's one thing, like if you know a corner's not going to be out, or you know that the nickel that's now going to have to move over, there's a weak link there, maybe you can pick on that. But for the most part, the whole secrecy of the injury stuff, it is one of the most overblown things.
It really is.
But coaches are paranoid and they think that every little advantage, and that's just what you do when you're making $9 million a year and you have nothing else to do but freak out over little stuff like this.
I get it. But in the NFL, they have
injury reports.
Yes. And I don't, we don't interview a lot of coaches here, but I just don't think a coach looks at the injury report and does anything to his game plan based off of that, right?
There's a handful of guys that probably would, or I mean, like quarterback. I said, if there's a weak link, but you would laugh though, like the amount of because you can't. Who was the New Orleans coach that got caught doing the headhunting stuff?
Oh, Greg Williams.
Yeah, Greg Williams. Yeah, you can't do that. But every injury report, like when you go over like on Monday or Tuesday when you're doing install, and you sit in your meeting, in your group meetings, and then you go over who you're going to play. You'd also be blown away by a lot of the times no one even knows anyone's names. It's just numbers. Even really good players. You'll ask a coach about like an All-American player, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, 54. That's all he is. He's a blank number, 54. But whenever you're doing the report, especially in the NFL, they'd be like, all right, so this is 54, defensive tackle, a lot of burst here, likes to go inside out, got a club swim move, was limping, and then they'll circle the leg and be like, hey, just be aware, limping on this, so, you know, just, and they never say, hey, you might want to cut that leg, but it is certainly known. Hey, you might want to be aware of this one right here, big arrow. If you get a chance, tackle coming down, backside cut. So there are things like that where people are aware. But again, does it necessitate all the secrecy? Because you can see on film if someone's limping. You can see if someone's effective in the game. The amount of time and effort we put into the secrecy and trying to figure it out versus the impact that it has, it's such an overblown thing.
All right, our weekly visit with the coach, Dan Lanning, is next on The Fan.